Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. The abomination of desolation standing in the holy place was one of the end time signs given by Jesus Christ that was first recorded by Daniel the prophet centuries before. And since that time, the abomination of desolation has intrigued those who read the Bible. Before there was the abomination of desolation, God taught Israel that there were abominations. When God used the term abomination, it was used to describe violations of the statutes and commandments of God and to describe foreign gods with a small g. For instance, eating unclean meats was an abomination, as was eating the meat of a sacrifice outside the ceremonial requirements. God wanted Israel to do what was expected of them, recognizing that it was the God of Israel who brought them up out of Egypt. He also recognized that his people who had been in servitude in Egypt might find it hard to act on their newly given freedom and to take the land that God was giving them. He understood that as Israel came out of Egypt and came to territory after territory they were to claim, that they might look at the people already living there as being better equipped militarily. God reminded Israel that just as he had brought them out of Egypt, reminding them of the plagues that were brought upon Egypt, he would give them the promised land, and when needed, he would do to the people of the land they would be taking as he did to Egypt, even inciting hornets and stinging insects when necessary to defeat the enemy. God then told them when they had secured victory over the people, their kings were to be destroyed, and their gods with a small g were to be destroyed. Deuteronomy 7, verse 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt be not affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hands, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Centuries later, when Solomon was old, he forgot what God had told Israel during the Exodus. His wives influenced him to worship foreign gods and goddesses with a small g, which were described as abominations. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Generations later, we are told of Josiah, who removed all the abominations from Judah and Jerusalem. But even this devotion by Josiah would not be enough to save Judah and Jerusalem from punishment by God, as delivered by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. When Josiah removed all the abominations spied in the land of Judah, everything with a connection to a foreign god with a small g that could be seen was removed. The reason Josiah did this was simple. He was doing what Hilkiah the priest found written in the book that was found in the house of the Lord. He was the only king to fully return to God with all his heart, soul, and might. Josiah poured everything into doing what God expected of him. 2 Kings 23, verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses? Neither after him arose there any like him. That brings us to the signs of the end time as given by Jesus, which we have looked at for a few weeks. One of the signs of the end time given by Jesus was Daniel's abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. Jesus warned that when this was observed, that it would be time to immediately flee from Jerusalem. There would not even be time to gather anything from the house. The need to leave would be immediate, like when there are mandatory evacuations due to wildfires with go-now orders. And leaving without having time to gather anything from the house will create hardships for those leaving, especially for women who are pregnant and with infants. Matthew 24, verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let them which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Jesus used the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place to be a marker for the great tribulation, where some people will claim to be Jesus and others will be false prophets who will be so impressive with their message and what they do that just about everyone will be deceived by them, all except the very elect. Jesus then reminded the disciples that when he does return, it will be as easy to notice as the sunrise. It will not be something hidden or just for a few to see. Everyone will see the return of Jesus. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. God used the word abomination to describe violations of his commandments and statutes, while also describing foreign gods with a small g. So the abomination of desolation could very well be a foreign god with a small g. And there are many to choose from, whether from Babylon, where Daniel was during the prophecies of his book, from the nations surrounding ancient Israel, or even from the gods with a small g of Roman Athens. With the prophecy of the end time and the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, this could also be a reference to military forces, because in Luke's account, the abomination of desolation is not referenced, and in its place is a reference to Jerusalem being surrounded by armies. Luke 21, verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. From the gospel accounts, we can see the abomination of desolation has a military connection with armies surrounding Jerusalem. And when we go to Daniel, we also see abominations being connected to foreign gods with a small g. In Daniel, we read a prophecy regarding the timing of the Messiah and a specific prophecy of the destruction of the temple that Jesus spoke of, which is described as causing the sacrifice and oblation to cease and for the overspreading of abominations to make it desolate. To this day, there is no temple in Jerusalem. Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Later in Daniel, we see the prophecy of the abomination of desolation, with the king of the north having indignation against the holy covenant and sharing intelligence with those who forsake that covenant, with that sharing of intelligence serving military purposes. From Daniel, we can also see that during this time, there will be a temple, because a temple would be needed to have the sanctuary and to give space for the daily sacrifice. It is in this temple compound that the abomination that makes desolate is placed. This will be a time when flattery is used to find alliances among those who also hate the Holy Covenant. And for some of the faithful, it will be a time of significant persecution, with some doing great exploits and others facing death. Daniel 11, verse 29. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south. But it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Kittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved, and return, and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with him that forsake the holy covenant. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge, and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. In the final chapter of Daniel, the abomination that makes desolate is described as something that is set up, with a timeline of 3 years and 7 months between the time the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up. A final blessing is given to those who make it to a time marked as 3 years, 8.5 months, from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away. Daniel 12, verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Looking at the words of Jesus and what Daniel wrote, we can see the abomination of desolation of the end time takes place in a temple in Jerusalem, and that there is a military connection to the events happening at a time when the king of the north despises the Holy Covenant. Despising what is holy does not mean completely embracing a foreign god with a small g. When what is holy to God is despised, it can lead the person who is despising to maintain an appearance or form of faith while rejecting the substance of faith. Isaiah wrote of concerns regarding Judah and Jerusalem, and specifically how God hated their ways. He showed how God described them as being beaten up, bruised, and wounded, and how the religious leaders were leading people who weren't much different than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The people sinned and sacrificed, sinned and sacrificed, sinned and sacrificed, and God had enough of their sacrifice because he had enough of their sin. Their religious practices, which were aligned to what was taught at the time, were an abomination to God because of the sin of the people. God was not impressed with the quantity of sacrifices and all of their religious practices. The people were so hypocritical that God hated what they were doing at the temple. Isaiah 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation! A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Jeremiah wrote that God saw his heritage as being made an abomination among the people. Because God is holy and righteous, God's heritage should also be holy and righteous. But because of the people with the house of Israel, this was not the case. God asked why the people thought so poorly of him that they would leave God and do whatever they wanted to do. The people lost memory of God, seeing God as some mythical figure, and then he reminded his people that when they entered the Promised Land, they defiled the land given to them, making God's heritage to be an abomination. The priests, who were supposed to teach the people about God, didn't know God and instead taught the people everything they knew about Baal. Jeremiah 2, verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Jeremiah also connected abominations to what was happening at the temple, because the people of Israel and Judah were evil. They adopted religious practices worshiping the foreign gods with a small g, and even introduced some of those practices into temple worship, all while giving a more prominent place in religious worship to these foreign gods with a small g. Jeremiah 32, verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give the city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against the city shall come and set fire on this city, and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings unto other gods, to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Ezekiel writes of the abominations of the people of Israel and shows how God will destroy its military might and altars to foreign gods. The idols of foreign gods with a small g would collect the bodies of all their worshipers who died. Eventually, after enough troubles are endured, the people realize it is their actions leading to their troubles, and they will come to hate themselves for the abominations they did before God. Ezekiel 6, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. And your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay down the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when ye shall be scattered through the countries. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations whither they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. Malachi shows that profaning the covenant and dealing treacherously with one another leads to abominations being committed. When what is holy is disregarded and made common, then the people can replace what is holy with what is common. Instead of focusing on the God of Israel, the people could focus on any God with a small g. Through Malachi, God promises to cut off people who claim to maintain faithful worship while they also abandon faithful worship. Malachi 2, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have he done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth with good will at your hand. In addition to teaching about the abomination of desolation, Jesus also taught that what is highly regarded by people is an abomination in the sight of God, because people look at what is physical while God is focused on the spiritual. Luke 16, verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. From Revelation, we can see a prophecy of the two witnesses who measure the temple of God. And from the book, we can see this happens when Jerusalem is overrun by Gentiles for 3.5 years. And these two witnesses also prophesy for 3.5 years. These two witnesses provide a final witness to mankind of the sins of mankind before the return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and then the worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Throughout the Bible, it is consistently called an abomination when either a foreign god with a small g is worshipped, or when temple practices were misused by the people. Consistent in this is a problem with what we broadly think of as religion and faith. It is an abomination to God when religious practices of foreign gods with a small g are confused with practices of true religion. Later in the book of Revelation, we see the judgment of the great whore who sits on many waters. Sitting on many waters means this great whore has global influence, not just in an isolated area of the world. This great whore is politically connected and does more to influence what people do than most people realize, because the people of Earth are described as being drunk with the wine of the great whore's fornication. This great whore is described as a woman, and prophetically, a woman describes a religion. Being described as a great whore, it suggests that this is a religion that has access to the truth, but has shelved the truth for lies, lies that satisfy the inhabitants of Earth who live on many waters. This woman is described as riding a beast that has the names of blasphemy while she holds a golden cup of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The golden cup suggests a religion with wealth, enough wealth to have a golden cup and a global influence. And it also suggests that the religious practices have incorporated practices of foreign gods with a small g. Global false religious practices stem from this great whore, as do many religious faiths. Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Why is it most who call themselves Christians keep Sunday when Sunday is not the weekly Sabbath? Or they keep holidays like Easter and Christmas instead of the holy days as given by the Bible, even when there is evidence that the early church kept the biblical holy days. This mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth, has a global influence, and Christians need to examine if they are holding true to the faith of the Bible, or if they are under the sway of this great whore of the book of Revelation. As people of faith, we must be people of faith and not people of abominations. What we do must be aligned to what the Bible teaches. What other religions teach to their adherents can never replace what the Bible teaches, and we cannot allow the religious practices of these foreign gods with a small g to become part of our religious practices. Our religious practices must always be aligned to what God expects of us and what is taught through the Bible. We know before the end time, a man of sin will be revealed, also known as a son of perdition. This person thinks so highly of himself that he sees himself as being more important than God and the truth. It's like this person sits in the temple of God acting as if he is God. Most people, when they go to the house of God, they go to worship. When this person goes to the house of God, he goes to be worshiped. There is a difference between worshiping God and wanting to be worshiped as God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. Paul also explained that what leads to the man of sin being revealed was already at work during his time, and that ultimately what is wicked will be revealed. This wicked will be so wicked that at the return of Jesus, this wicked person will be consumed. How wicked is this wicked man of sin? This wicked man of sin comes to prominence through Satan, through lies and wonders. This wicked man of sin deceives people through the unrighteousness of the people for whom the lie is more convenient than the truth. We might think God would intervene to save these people who live a life of unrighteousness, but Paul shows how God will send these people a strong delusion so they believe the lie. These people who are given a strong delusion do not believe the truth and instead take pleasure in unrighteousness. Simply put, sin brings them joy. That is how strongly deluded they are. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, and signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The abomination of desolation will lead to destruction, with both property and lives being lost. It might seem cruel and heartless that God would allow these people to live through a strong delusion where they couldn't see the truth even if the truth was right before them. But we know that all who have not yet been called and given the Holy Spirit in this life will have a future opportunity during a later time, as the book of Revelation speaks of a second resurrection. It is after this second resurrection when those who suffer this strong delusion are given an opportunity for repentance and salvation that we come to the time of a new heaven, new earth, and a new Jerusalem. It is at this time that righteousness prevails, and only righteousness is found with a new Jerusalem. Instead of a temple made of bricks, God and Jesus Christ are themselves the temple. And instead of needing the light of the sun by day and the moon by night, the glory of God and Jesus Christ illuminate the city. All who are saved, having their name written in the book of life, will have their place with a new Jerusalem. But there will be no place for any sin, any abomination, or any lie. Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Daniel prophesied of the abomination that makes desolate, and Jesus showed Daniel's prophecy referred to the end time during a time when the armies are surrounding Jerusalem. The abomination of desolation itself is something religious. Because worshiping foreign gods with a small g was an abomination to God, the abomination of desolation somehow links to worship of foreign gods with a small g. The people of Israel and later the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah mostly welcomed these foreign gods with a small g and voluntarily worshiped them. It was only the prophets and the righteous few who remained loyal to God. We don't know for sure exactly what the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place will be, But because the vast majority of people have welcomed and worshipped prior abominations, the vast majority of people during this future time will likely also welcome and worship what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. Here is something to consider. The vast majority of people who welcome and worship what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation will not think of this as an abomination of desolation or even an abomination. In their mind, it will likely be of significant religious importance. Because they won't consider what they think of as having significant religious importance to be the abomination of desolation when Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, many will miss their only clue to leave the city before it is too late. God has called us to be people who seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. For us, there is no place for religious abominations within the faith we have. When iniquity abounds and the love of many grows cold, we endure to the end. And when the vast majority are enamored by religious abominations influenced by foreign gods with a small g, we endure to the end. When this world is mostly enamored with something of religious influence in Jerusalem, and that something of religious influence is standing in the holy place, we are not enamored and we endure to the end. And for those of the household of faith who might be in Jerusalem at this future time, when armies are seen surrounding Jerusalem, it is time to leave immediately, not even going back to get anything from the house. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.